You're listening to a teaching from Vineyard Church in Jacksonville, Florida. For more information on teachings and special events, visit us online at www.vcjax.org. That's vcjax.org. Now let's listen in.
We've titled this series, what? SWS stands for Sit, Walk, and Stand. And it's how many chapters in Ephesians? Six. Man, you guys are sharp. How many of you have actually, maybe I should, well, I will put you on the spot. How many have actually read the book of Ephesians sometime in the last month, 2 months? All right, rest of you sinners. You,
round three.
All right. When I say this, I don't just say it to be saying it, okay? I think we read the scripture last week that said in 2 Timothy 3:16 that says something along the lines of all scripture is Ephesians scripture?
Yes.
So Ephesians fits in this. All scripture is profitable for, come on, some of you study folks, it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness. Yes, so it's God-breathed, it's inspired, and it's good. It does you good. Everybody says it does me good. Does me good. It does. You will be the beneficiary of getting into Ephesians. So don't read it just because Brother Bob asked you to read it. Read it because you want God to speak to you, because the Holy Spirit will take the written word, which is this, and he'll speak it to your heart. That becomes the rhema, the spoken word. Well, God, he'll inspire you. He'll stir something up in you. Amen. One of the things we talked about last week was that the life of the believer does not begin with walking, but with sitting. And Christianity does not begin with a big do, or in other words, do something, but it begins with a big done. It's actually been done. That's the sitting part, the first 3.5 chapters or so of Ephesians. This is what has happened. This has already been done for you and me. We need to understand it and not just know it, but experience it. Hello? There's a difference between knowing up here and experiencing here. You with me? That's what it talks. Well, in fact, is when Paul talks about knowing, he's not talking about knowing here. He's talking about this idea of, the word knowledge is gnosko, and it's the idea of an intimate knowledge. It's knowing in our hearts, knowing in our spirit, and that's what we need to understand. That's what we need to get as we're reading the Bible, as we're reading the Word of God. Tonight, I want to just look at the first two verses, first two chapters, y'all wish. The first two verses of Ephesians, I'm going to read them to you. In NIV, it says this, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from our Father, from our God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll read it to you also in the Passion Translation. It says this, Dear friends, my name is Paul, and I was chosen by God to be an apostle of Jesus the Messiah. I'm writing this letter to all the devoted believers who have been made holy by being one with Jesus, the Anointed One. May God Himself, the Heavenly Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, release grace over you and impart total well-being into your lives. Don't you just love how the Passion says that? I encourage you guys, if you don't have that translation, get it and read it. It's a good, I love the Passion just to kind of read, like if I'm going to read a whole book. Like if I was going to sit down and read the book of Ephesians, it's six chapters. What's it take to read six chapters? 15 minutes, 10 minutes, 2 hours. Steve always tells me he reads slow. You get me? I mean, it should take long. But if you want to kind of get a general broad feel, and I think sometimes to a point of being incorrect. We want to take the scriptures and so intersect them or divide them and dig down into every little word. And that's good to do. I do that. I love doing that. It's called exegetical teaching. I love doing it that way. But I think sometimes if we're not careful, and this is how heresies or false doctrine happens, we can take one word and try and make it say something that when you read it in the context of what's being said, you don't get that. You understand that? So sometimes it's good to read. I do this regularly. Just sit down with a translation like the Passion and just read the whole book. Just get a kind of a general flow for what's going on. And then if you want to get more into verse by verse and word by word, get into a translation like the NIV or the New Living Translation or New King James or New American Standard. All those are more like a word by word translation, whereas the Passion Translation is more like a general, some people call it a paraphrase, but it's kind of a general, this is what Paul was saying. And it's, the other thing is, this is a letter, okay, that was written. That's another reason why, read it as a letter, like as in the whole. Does that make sense to you? I hope you grasp that. So now that I said all that, we're going to go back and we're going to dig into it word by word. Do what I say, not what I do. Now, anyway, Paul makes this statement, by the will of God, I am an what? What's he call himself? An apostle. In other words, Paul says this, I'm an apostle, and I'm an apostle because it was what? The will of God. Paul knew, okay, and this, look at me. When you're going to get thrown in jail numerous times for your faith, and you're going to get beaten for your faith, and you're going to get stoned with rocks for your faith, and you're going to get shipwrecked for your faith, and you with me? When you're going to go through all that, you need to know something. You need to know I'm doing this because I've been called by the will of God. You with me? I can remember, how many of you guys remember John Paul Jackson? And the prophetic guy was Brown for a number of years. Actually came to our fellowship a couple of times. Prophetic guy, really, really neat guy. And it was during a time when all the church was really into prophecy and getting words, and people would just, if somebody even came close to being prophetic, they could hold a meeting and hundreds of people would show up. Everybody wanted their own personal prophetic word. Right? I remember him making a statement. It's always hit me. He said this, the more accurate and precise the prophetic word is from God to you, the more trials and tribulation you're going to have. You know why? Because in order to get through those trials and tribulations, you need to understand, God called me into this. God prophesied. God spoke to me that he wants me to pack my bags up and go to wherever. When you get to wherever that place is God called you, I want you to understand, and it doesn't have to be overseas. It could be next door. It could be at your school. It could be at your work. God's called me to that. Most of the time when we're called to a place like that, it just, have you read Acts? It just doesn't normally go real easy. Paul's making a statement. I'm called. I know what I'm doing because I've been called by the will of God, is what he's saying. My question to us is, can we say that? Do I know I'm where I'm at today by the will of God? By this is what he's called me to be doing. I'm doing it. I'm following out his calling in my life. Whatever it may be. It may be God called you to be a plumber or an electrician or an engineer or a school teacher or a mom or a pastor or whoever. I was going to say politician, but man, that's talking about trials and testings. Are you with me? I mean, Paul says, hey, guys, I'm writing this letter to you, and I know this. Paul, I've been called by the will of God. And then he says this. This is who he's writing to. I'm writing to the, what's it say? Remember? Oh, look at there. Y'all keep cheating. Paul says, I'm writing to the, one translation says the saints. I think it's the pastor that calls it, to God's holy people. What? Devoted, yes, the devoted followers of Christ. But he's writing to the church at Ephesus. Now, if you read about the church at Ephesus in Revelation, you'll find out they're not perfect people. Okay? Paul's calling them. I'm calling you guys, and I'm writing this to you, and he's calling them what? Saints. Holy people. Set apart. People. We've talked about what set holy meant. It's these people that are set. I'm writing to you folks, to you holy people. I remember when I went to seminary back many, 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 many moons ago, and met a real good friend. I've been a friend for all these years ever since. And he was, I guess we were both in our early 20s, mid-20s. And he had long hair, and he was just this crazy, wild guy. And he and I connected, and we just became best buddies. And I remember on his Bible, you know, the nice leather-bound Bible, maybe some of you still have it. A lot of people back then, when they'd get a Bible, they'd have it gold printed and you'd have your name put on there, right? Nope. I was going to see if mine did. Anyway, I'll never forget this, how it struck me. His name was Jamie Stilson. His said, Saint James Stilson. And I remember looking at that thinking, my gosh, how pretentious. how boastful can you get? I mean, seriously, I'm looking at this thing, and I knew the guy. I knew he wasn't no saint. And I'm thinking, you know, really? This is what's going through my brain, okay, as a good old Baptist boy. Saint. Who calls themselves saint? You know why it was such a problem for me? Because what? Because I was Baptist. Seriously, you know what's the problem for me? Because in my understanding, I was just some poor old sinner that deserved hell. I was the worm under whatever. I wasn't a saint. What do you mean a saint? Who calls themselves a saint? I was maybe scumbag, you know, sorry, you know, the guy that screws up all the time. Maybe that guy. To the saint, Paul calls these people saints. You know why he called them saints? Because they were. Because of what? The work of Jesus. Because Jesus took our sins on himself and gave us his righteousness. That makes you a saint. Saint Rock. Something about that don't go together. Saint. I mean, just think about that. I'm one of God's holy people. I mean, when you look at yourself in the mirror and you get up, do you just go, man, that's a holy dude right there? I'm serious. I mean, after you get past looking at all the blemishes and the extra fat and those things, do you look at yourself in the mirror and you go, man, I'm a saint of God? I'm serious. I mean, let me ask you this. Do you think your day might go a little different? Yeah. If you woke up in the morning and when you looked at the mirror, you thought, there's a saint right there. There's a holy man. Look at him. Holy. Spotless. saint. I'm a saint. Do you, I mean, at least maybe for a few minutes as your morning progressed. Do you think you might live differently or act differently or respond differently or think differently if you started your day off with going, man, that's a saint right there. That's a holy man. He carries the image of Christ. Look, I'm looking in the mirror. Do you think my day would go different versus when I look in there and I may not say it out loud, but I at least think, you know, wonder what I'm going to screw up on today. Wonder where I'm going to mess up today. Wonder when I'm going to blow it. Wonder what kind of sin I'm going to commit today. Because I am a sinner. I mean, I got to sin if I'm a sinner. Right? I mean, you think the day might be differently if we looked at ourselves that way? To this, Paul calling these folks saints. And he says this, grace. And I'm going to wind down right here. We're not even going to make it all the way to, how many words do we get in? Five words. All right. Tells you how long we're going to be in Ephesians. Let's look at grace real quick. I love grace. We play this game. I sometimes meet with some of my family on Friday nights, and we get together and play cards and different things. And don't judge me. I'll tell you what they were, but you might judge me. Good old Baptist, we couldn't play those kind of cards. One of the games we play, after you can only lose like three times, and then you have one more, and it's called grace. And you're in grace for it. And then if you lose again, then you lost. You left grace and just lost, okay? But every time I get into that, this group around me has heard me say it 500 times. It says, I love grace. Every time. Every single time I'm in grace, I love grace. I do. You ought to, or you better. You know why I love grace? Because I need grace. Grace. The word grace used 130 times in the New Testament. Here's some definitions I want to just read to you. Grace is the love of God shown to the unlovely, the peace of God given to the restless. It's the unmerited favor of God. Another definition, grace is the free sovereign favor to the ill-deserving. Grace is love that cares and stoops and rescues. I like that. Grace is love that cares and it stoops and it rescues. Grace is God reaching downward to the people who are in rebellion against him. Grace is unconditional love toward a person who does not earn it or merit it. Grace. If grace, you think, I mean, if it's used 100-something times in the Scripture, and it says, I mean, we can spend months on just grace. It says we can grow in grace, we can receive grace, we can give grace to others. If grace is important, do you think maybe we ought to at least kind of have a clue, how do you access grace? How do you get it? How do you get grace? Romans 5:2 in the NIV says this, through whom we have gained access by what?
Faith.
Through whom we've gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. There's a bunch said right there. One is you can stand in grace. You can have it, you can receive it, and you can stand in it. The other part is we have access to this grace through faith. It's faith is how we access grace. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. And the message is translated this, that same verse, by entering through faith into what God has already wanted to do for us, here's what grace does, it sets us right with him, makes us fit for him. We have it all together with God because of our Master Jesus. Don't you like that? You got it all together with God. You receive all this because of Jesus, our Master. And that's not all. We throw open our doors to God and discover at the same moment that He's already thrown open His doors to us. Hello? When you open your door, it's talking about our heart. When we open our door to God, what do you find out? There's this mean old God that wants to slap you down? Do you find a God that's appalled by your actions? Do you find a God that says, I can't believe you did that? No. You find a God that when we open our doors, we find out something. He's already opened His. I mean, that just to me is that picture of the prodigal son again, where the son's messed up, screwed up, spent all his money, comes back to the father, and he's ready to repent. He's ready to say, I screwed up, I messed up, just make me a servant. And he's barely getting his words out of his mouth. And the father sees him coming from afar. So it's this image of the father waiting down the road. And he sees his son who's done all this, the son who told him, I wish you were dead. He sees him coming back, and it says the father did what? Ran toward him with open arms. Says, this is my son. Get out the robe, get out the ring, get out the sandals. Let's have a party. Let's kill a cow and party. I love that. We discover at the same moment He's already thrown His door open to us. We find ourselves standing where we always hoped we might stand. Look what it says, out in the wide open spaces of God's grace and glory, standing tall and shouting our praise. Is that good? You see, when we trusted by faith, that's what trust is. When we had faith and trusted in Jesus, we became born again. And that was, see, we always understood that as a, and I hate to pick on the Baptists. I say that because that's what I was, okay? I always understood Ephesians 2:8-9. I always understood that I was saved by grace. You with me? I knew I couldn't do anything to get saved. It was all His grace. But my sense was I was saved by grace, but by golly, you better make sure you stay that way. You better mind your P's and Q's. You got to earn the rest of it from now on. I mean, is it any wonder people don't want to know God? If that's their image of God's mean and angry, instead of an image of God with His arms open. Come on, come to me. Didn't Jesus say something like that? Come to me, all you who are what, weary? Do you run into any weary people? Come. Come, He says. I love that. When I respond and open, I find out He's already open for me. He's waiting on me to respond. See, God's grace cannot be earned. Get that. You can't earn the grace of God. You don't earn it. You don't work for it. You can't produce it by yourself, by your own abilities. I always had this thought, if I could just read my Bible enough and pray enough and witness enough and go to church enough and be kind enough and talk nice enough and then don't do all them other things you ain't supposed to do, that if I could, man, if I could ever get there, God would really like me. And if I just, if I just recognize God already likes me. He likes you. He loves you. He's waiting. Might have had a little different impact. Grace says this, grace is freely provided by Jesus. That means it didn't cost something. It cost Him His life. But it's freely provided for us. From beginning to end. The saving, rescuing, transforming work of God's grace, according to Ephesians 2, 8, 9, is the gift of God. What do you do with gifts? You receive them. Amen? Grace is God's gift to me. Not, clearly says, not of works. Not, everybody say not. 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 Get it? Not. Y'all getting that? Guess what? It's not of works. I don't get grace because I earned it, because I worked hard at it, because I tried to, you know, man, I mean, did y'all ever feel, am I the only one that ever felt that? Man, if I could just pray long enough, and I got extra brownie points if I witnessed to somebody. And if you were really holy if you went to church on Wednesday night, right? I mean, we went to a church with 500 people on Sunday morning. On Wednesday night, there might have been 40 there. I pastored a church. The first church I pastored grew to about 150 on Sunday mornings. Wednesday night prayer meeting, there may have been 20. Except the night they wanted to vote me out, about 400 showed up. They came from the woodwork. I never knew that church had so many members. Anyway, grace. We're talking about grace, right? Man, the gift of God, not of works. Why? Lest anyone should boast. You know who we boast in? Jesus. Our boast is in Him. He did it. He did it. He did it. I receive grace by faith, and I walk in under that understanding. We're going to see three chapters of understanding that, of sitting and understanding. This is who we are. This is who we are. This is what God did. This is what Jesus did. Now, based on that, I can walk this out. Because of that, I love people. Because of that, I treat my wife right. Because of that, I don't say certain things. Because of that, this is why I do these things. Because why? Because my life's different. I'm holy. And I want to live holy. Amen? Let's stand up. Man. Certainly. Yes, ma'am.
How many of you are tired of hearing that one? Raise your hand. No. Earlier we sang about giving God praise, and I want to do that now. We've been praying for a few weeks about a 9-year-old little girl with aggressive stage 3 cancer. She's been in pain for 2 months, and the only way that they could even help her pain would be to put her back in the hospital. Yesterday, I got a phone call. She's been 2 days without pain. They had to put a feeding tube in her because she lost 20 pounds. She couldn't eat. Yesterday, she asked her mom for a taco, and she said, could she help fix it? So I just want to thank God and give Him all the glory, answering our prayers, and just to praise Him, and for us just to keep it up.
Amen. Amen. You got to feel good to eat a taco. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Lord, we just thank you for the miracles that you do. Lord, thank you for health, healing, wholeness. Father, thank you for testimony. Thank you for grace, Lord. Thank you for grace, for abundant grace that you have to us, Lord. Thank you, Dad, that we get to walk with you. We get to just be loved by you and love on you, that we get to receive. Father, thank you that grace isn't just a one-time event that got us saved, but it's something we can receive and walk in and grow in. And Dad, we just pray, Lord, you'd help us all. Lord, help us to grow in the grace and understanding and in peace, Lord, of who you are and what you're doing in our lives. And Father, we pray, Lord, I just pray specifically for next Sunday for our Easter service, that you would, Father, you would just stir the folks that live in that neighborhood that are not Christians, that aren't following you, that aren't plugged in, and they would just wake up and have a desire and want to come, and that they'd hear your word, and your word would just do a work in their hearts, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.
You've been listening to a teaching from Vineyard Church. For more information on teachings and special events, visit us online at www.vcjax.org. That's vcjax.org.